Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number four, the letter U.com. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics, with the hopes that I might be able to help people find their way through some of the difficulties that we face in managing money as we grow into adulthood. I want teens, college students, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. In the last few weeks, there's been much speculation about the Federal Reserve and whether they will raise interest rates now or sometime in the future. So much more may be interpreted in an interest rate hike by the Fed. Some pundits say it may be an affirmation of the strength of the U.S. economy, with the Fed wanting to nip any inflation fears in the bud. Others say it would put the brakes on the U.S. economy, with all the other global economic issues creating havoc in the overall marketplace. Today, I'm going to go over some of the basic things you need to know about your investments and the markets and how they may react to a Federal Reserve rate hike sometime in the future or maybe tomorrow. One, the Fed can raise rates, but it is the actual market that sets the rates. There's been so much hype and so much volatility related to China, the devaluation of the yuan, the Middle East migration, the Greek debt situation, and other issues, that it is possible that the markets may have already factored in a rate hike, meaning that there will not be much market reaction to the part of the stock market or the bond market if the Fed does choose to raise rates. Even so, there have been times past when the Fed did not raise rates, but the market itself decided it was time to do so, resulting in Treasury bond sell-offs that actually acted to set a higher rate than the Fed had arrived at. Raising rates at the Fed is one of the many tools they have available to slow down the economy by making it less attractive to lend money. Basically, since 2008, all the Fed has been trying to do is make sure the economy has enough fuel to move forward and to basically provide enough jobs that we need in this country. So this will be the first time since 2008 and actually since in the last decade that they will have considered even raising rates. I remember that during the fall of 1979, which I know for a lot of you weren't even born yet, and through most of 1980, economists and market strategists watch the money supply figures, they're called M1 and M2, nobody watches them anymore, each week with the hopes that they could figure out if the Fed would be raising rates or not. I recall one month when every week the Fed raised interest rates, creating a great deal of volatility in the bond market as well as the stock market. Nobody knew whether to buy bonds or buy stocks or when this was going to end or what was going to happen. And so there was a great deal of volatility. It was a good trading market in the stock market, not so good in the bond market. These rates spilled over into the housing markets, credit markets, auto loan markets, and others. 10-year Treasury bonds were paying as high as 14.92% during 1980. Just as a comparison, they're paying between 2 and 3% right now. So you can see there was a very big difference at what was going on at that time in this country. 30-year mortgage rates were 16% or greater, which meant that when you bought a house, that was a lot more expensive. Current mortgage rates are probably around 4.5% to 5% for a 30-year mortgage at this time. Money market funds were paying 15.5% and higher, depending on how much was invested in commercial paper and how much was in treasuries. If you can imagine having a money market fund that instead of it paying 0.5% or 0.25% was paying you 15.5%. It was an incredibly amazing time for high interest rates. We're a long way off from interest rates that high, since right now they're currently at zero. But pay attention to market prices of Treasury bonds and keep track of how often the Fed decides to adjust rates higher, so that you'll kind of know or be able to have an idea of what's coming next. Two, bond and other fixed income investment prices may drop. As I mentioned in my April podcast, there are a lot of fixed income investments out there in the investment universe. Treasury bills, commercial paper, treasury notes, short-term corporate bonds, repos, commercial bonds, and municipal bonds are all fixed income investments that have a fixed maturity date, a principal or par value, and a fixed interest rate based on the par value. Most of the time, the par value or the principal maturity value is $1,000 per bond. Most of the time, treasuries are quoted by their interest rate, say 2.95% with an up or down arrow indicating that the yield is up or down depending on the market. When the yield is up, that means the bond prices are down. When the yield is down, it means bond prices are up. If you can visualize kind of a seesaw with one side being the interest rate and the other side reflecting the market price, you'll know that when the interest rate goes up, the bond price goes down. These are bonds that are traded in what we call the secondary market. When bonds are issued, they're issued in the primary market, and they're usually issued at a par value of $1,000. And when the bond is first issued, it is then stated as a percentage of par value, the interest rate is. So, for example, if you are buying a new bond in the primary market, say a five-year bond, let's say the interest rate is 2.5% on the par value of $1,000 in the primary market, which usually is an auction market for treasuries or usually an underwriting market for corporate bonds. The interest rate, this 2.5%, normally reflects the going rate for money for 5 years with the safety and guarantee of the U.S. government. That means that the bond pays $25 in interest on an annual basis. Once this bond is in the secondary market, where it floats in price and yield, and its price is determined by market forces, the quote is a reflection of the interest rate percentage of the cost of money invested in that quality of bond. If the rate goes up to 2.95%, it means a newly issued bond in the primary market will pay $29.50 per year, which is more money than the bond that you just looked at, the 2.5% bond, which paid $25. So that means that the bond that pays 2.5% now, because interest rates have gone up to 2.95%, now has gone down in value. Now, the saving grace of bonds is that at some point on their maturity date, you will go back, or the bonds will go back, to their principal value, their original issue price value of $1,000 per bond, or their par value is what they'll go back to. So if the market interest rates go up, then bond prices usually go down. Think of a seesaw. That's the best I can do for you. So if the Fed decides to raise interest rates by 25 basis points or 0.25% or a quarter of a percent, which is what 25 basis points means, then the price of the bonds may go down slightly unless the market has factored in the hike already or unless people are concerned that the Fed is going to continue on this trend, which I seriously doubt they will. Keep in mind that when you look at bond prices for treasuries, they're quoted in percentage yields. So if you see the numbers reflecting a percent and the green color for a positive move in interest rates is shown, then that means the underlying value of the bond in the marketplace has gone down. Again, think of a seesaw with interest rates on one side, bond prices on the other. When rates go up, bond prices go down. When rates go down, then bond prices go up. So we are at the end of a really long bull market in bonds because we're basically at a 0% marketplace for the Fed. The Fed has not raised rates in a decade, so this will be a new experience for many investors. Please do not panic. This is only being done because there's a concern about inflation, overheating of the economy, and to a certain extent, the desire to have quality override quantity in a lot of investments. If you're invested in exchange-traded funds that are made up of fixed income investments like corporate or municipal bonds, or if you're invested in mutual funds that are actively managed and made up of corporate or municipal bonds, it's the time to check out a few things about your funds. How long are the maturities in the portfolio? How much leverage or debt is used to buy bonds in the portfolio? If the bonds are more than 5 years of maturity, you will see more volatility in the prices if rates go up now, and especially if they continue to go up over time. Keep in mind that when you're in a bond fund or an exchange-traded fund, you don't have the benefit of a maturity date when the par value of the bond will come due. So you don't have a date when you know you're going to get your $1,000 back, which allows you to ride out the marketplace. All you have is the price you paid per share and whether the current market price is up or down, below or above that, and what the yield is that you're still receiving from your fund. Okay. The other thing you need to do is, if leverage has been used to buy more bonds in the portfolio in order to increase the yield, then you may want to consider that if interest rates go up, not only will they affect the value of the underlying portfolio, but they will also go up on the loans or leverage used by the extra bonds in the fund. So you might want to check these things out, see where you stand in your portfolio. Keep in mind that this could be a very slow process. The Fed is just trying to kind of bring us back to our normal economic process that we go through since we've had all this quantitative easing. Your utility stocks may be affected by a rate hike or a sequence of rate hikes. Many utility or telephone stocks or other stocks that are paying dividends regularly may start to feel market pressure as rates go up. Not only have investors been buying these shares to get a better return than a money market fund, but also with the hopes of growth over time. As a result, many of these companies are near their highs or have higher than average price earnings ratios at this point, higher than they usually do. Signs that some investors may want to take profits and wait on the sidelines to see how things shake out. If you like the quality of the investment and the income and it fits into your portfolio with a long-term perspective, then you may want to hold on and average down by purchasing more of that same stock to add to your position if prices drop. Another factor that affects utility stocks is that they frequently borrow money to build and improve their plants. So higher interest rates will add to the cost of their business, ultimately affecting your earnings over time. 4, preferred stocks and convertible preferred stocks may be affected. Similar to bonds in your portfolio and utility stocks, preferred stocks and some convertible preferreds behave a lot like fixed income investments when interest rates go up. Purchased for their income stream and cash flow, these stock investments pay a dividend based on a par value determined when they are issued, and their dividend is calculated based on a percentage of the par value. Does this sound familiar to you? It should sound just like the information I shared with you earlier about bonds. This is a great time to reevaluate your portfolio and make sure your asset allocation is correct. Time to rebalance based on your asset allocation, then this may be a good time to look at how much you have in each asset class and if it is appropriate for you at this time. 5, interest rate hikes by the Fed can affect earnings and the cost of doing business. For the last few years, we've been in this low interest rate environment, bringing down business loan rates, bond interest rates, and mortgage rates to levels not seen since the 1940s. Businesses will need to be more productive to continue to be profitable in a higher interest rate environment if they rely on debt to finance their business. Buying a home will cost more because if interest rates go up, then mortgage rates will too. Take a look at the balance sheets of the companies you own and see how much debt they have in their portfolio and how well they're covering the debt payments they need to make. If you have a floating rate mortgage, or one that may begin to float, then you may wish to consider refinancing now while rates are still low so you can lock in a low fixed rate on a mortgage. So you won't feel like you're totally powerless to the forces of the Fed. The best thing you can do for your own personal finances is to follow the basic disciplines I've talked about in my book, Money Smarts for You, The Basics. Make sure you have $1,000 saved to handle that, you know, emergency with your car or maybe an extra medical bill that you didn't expect. And this is an easy thing to do over a year. You can save $20 a week over 50 weeks, And that even gives you 2 weeks off from savings, and you'll have saved $1,000. If you don't already have set aside 6 to 9 months of expenses and cash, so that's based on your expense plan that you've drafted, so that you have money to tide you over if you lose your job or are laid off, or if your income isn't exactly what you expected, start working on saving that money. Pay off your credit card debt, since the interest charged is usually quite high and it's not deductible against your taxes. Besides, Christmas is a few months away, and if you pay off your credit card debt now, your cards will be all ready and nice and free of any kind of obligation, so you'll be able to buy some things for Christmas. Also, it'll save you interest expense. Pay off your car loan debt, because, again, another high interest rate loan that you don't really need to have on the books. And then do your best to chip away at your mortgage. Make contributions to your retirement plans and diversify your investments across industry and asset classes. If you focus on what you can do rather than government actions that you cannot control, you will feel more empowered and less worried. The concepts I've gone over today involving interest rates and how they affect the market may help you as you select investments and decide how to allocate your funds across asset classes. Stick with investments in companies you understand, whose products and services you use, and stick with quality. Take a deep breath and then go on with your life feeling gratitude for what you do have and for living in a country where you're free to make these decisions on your own. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts For You show. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S. The number for the letter U.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.